Hello, my name is Sipporah Weinberg. Welcome to Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek 84. We meet once again and gather to learn the songs belonging to Bnei Korach, the children of Korach. While Rashi directly attributes authorship of the first grouping, beginning with Perek 42, to the sons of Korach, he does not do so at this point. Now I would like to suggest that this second group refers not to the sons of Korach themselves, but rather to their descendants, the ones that actually were the Mishorim, or the singers in the Beis HaMikdash. And this parak, in fact, discusses the yearning for the Beis HaMikdash, as we will soon see. And we'll notice here as we proceed a certain salient feature, still in all, that carries over from the first grouping. And let's begin. Lamnatzeach al hagitis levnei Korach mizmar, for the conductor on the gitis of the sons of Korach, a song. The gitis. We learn that it is an instrument. We've seen it several times throughout Tehillim in Prakim 8, 81, and now again in 84. A string instrument made in the city of Gass, and therefore was called gitis. But we also learn, according to Eben Ezra and Radak in Perek 8 in Tehillim, that these were songs that were sung by the Levim that belonged to the family of Oved Edom, Hagiti. Oved Edom was, of course, from Shevet Levi, but in Divrei Hayamim it also says that he was from Korach's descendants. When David HaMelech, in his first act as king, returned the Aron, the Ark of the Covenant, from Kiryas Yearim to Yerushalayim, he lifted it up with song and a celebratory procession. But in transporting the Aron, it appeared to slip. So a man named Uzzah rushed forth in an attempt to physically support the Aron, which is not allowed to be touched. Uzzah came too close and died. The procession was halted. The ceremony came to a close, and the Aron was stationed in the home of Oved Edom Hagiti. With meticulous devotion and scrupulous attention, Oved kept the Aron for 6 months, and as a result, his home was blessed with obvious abundance. He was granted many children, who, along with his grandchildren, would all ultimately serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And when David HaMelech heard that the house of Oved Edom Hagiti was so blessed, he understood that Hashem forgave the sin that caused the Aron's temporary exile, and he then returned it to Yerushalayim once again in joyous celebration. Oved's blessing proved the beneficial power that the Aron possessed. As holder of the Luchos, the Ten Commandments, its role was not only to mete out punishment for sin, as in the case of Uzzah. It also showed that the Aron had the power to confer such blessing, even when it was not in its natural environment. Our early chapters of Bnei Korach discuss the yearning felt in exile for the redemption and the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash. Divrei Hayamim l'Oved, as belonging to the family of Korach, so he too is there to teach us that there can be a connection to the blessings of Hashem even when the Aron is not in its place, even as now if it is in exile. But now back to the description of that place of union itself. Mayedidos mishkenosecha Hashem tzevakos, how beloved are your dwelling places, O Hashem of hosts. Referred to as lovely within this pasuk is markedly the place where Hashem rests, namely the Beis HaMikdash. And here it is called yedidos, friendship. The concept of friendship can best be described as one of connection, the process of closeness and love that can exist between two entities. Binyamin was called Yedid Hashem. He was considered so closely connected to Hashem that he merited to have the Beis HaMikdash built in the region of Israel belonging to him. The Beis HaMikdash itself, the Holy Temple, was the meeting place of Jewish souls with the presence of the divine. This was where the connection between self and Hashem took place. And who was the first to recognize and to love Hashem? Avraham Avinu, the grandfather, the great-grandfather of Binyamin. Ma yedidos, how much loving connection is in this environment in which you chose to rest your presence. And in fact, the Gemara in Menachos ties together the various different yedidim mentioned throughout Tanakh to the concept of the Beis HaMikdash and its placement and its purpose. Yavo yedid ben yedid, V'yivneh yedid liyedid, b'chelko shel yedid, v'yischapru bo yedidim. May the friend, Shlomo HaMelech, who was called Yedidya by Nasan HaNavi, the son of a friend, Avraham, as we mentioned before, who was called Yedid, and may he build a friend, That's our pasuk that describes the Beis HaMikdash as a locus of friendship, my yedidos. For whom? For the yedid, who is Hashem. When Yeshaya sings his song of the vineyard, he begins it, Ashira na li yedidi. I shall sing a song for my friend. Where? In the portion of the friend Binyamin. And within this place, friends will achieve atonement. The next pasuk radiates the strength and power of Tehillim's language. Nichsefa v'gam kalsa nafshi l'chatzros Hashem, libi uvisari yiranenu al kelchai. My soul yearns with a desire so strong as to bring me to the brink of oblivion for the courtyards of Hashem. My heart and my flesh pray fervently to the living Hashem. This is the epitome of a Jew in prayer. This is what happens. A simultaneous overpowering and longing of the soul unto death, together with a heart and a body that sings to the living God. The entire self, both physical and spiritual, joined together in harmony in this expression. I would like to point out that the only place in Tehillim, and even directly in Tanakh, where Hashem, rather than Bnei Yisrael as in Hosea, is described directly with the coinage of Kelchai, within these mizmorim we learn together. Bnei Korach were the ones to appreciate Kaviyachol, the life force of Hashem in this world, Kel Chai, as we learned, Tzama Nafshi Leilokim LeKel Chai, Shira LeKel Chayai, and here, Libi Uvisari Iranenu Al Kel Chai. These were those who saw death and exile and witnessed the force of Hashem's presence on a visceral level. And that is what we channel when we read these words. There's this tremendous yearning for the house of Hashem when we are distanced from it, and that's what's being expressed here. And gam tzipor matzabayis udror kenla asher shasa efrocheha es mizbechosecha Hashem tzivakos malki velokai. Even a bird found a home and a swallow her nest, where she places her chicks upon your altars, Hashem of hosts, my King and my Hashem. The first explanation of gam tzipor matzabayis udror kenla is one of sadness, as even a bird finds her children, and Espa Klal Yisrael cannot. This bird, explains Rashi, found a home, sadly, in the destruction in the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash, where the mother places her young. But then Rashi augments this explanation with a Medrash Agada that this is referring not to the time of destruction, but to the rebuilding phase, when the Jews return to their home. The bird symbolizes Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people. In mystical thought, in Kabbalah, Klal Yisrael is often compared to a bird, and so is Hashem, the Shechina. And when, ki tzipor nodedes min kina, as it says in Mishle, when the Shechina wanders, so too do the Jewish people. Because a bird is loyal to her children, fierce and protective, and the Shechina is as well, protecting Klal Yisrael, wherever she may be. The Zohar explains that the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, the mitzvah of sending away a mother bird in order to take her children when she is not present, is for the purpose of the phenomenon that happens when she comes back and sees that her children are missing and begins to cry in anguish. And this sorrow arouses the pity of the Heavenly Father, whose children are exiled and far from the nest, and he then causes them to return. So the performance of this mitzvah is then an act that symbolizes the subsequent ingathering of the exiles. It's a practice that we hope from below we will spur this action in a larger sense on high. Ashrei yoshvei v'secha, od yehallelu chasela, fortunate are those who stay in your house. They will continually praise you forever. The Mishnah in Brachos explains Hasidim Harishonim would rest an hour. The early pious ones would sit, how you show him sha'a achas, and rest in the house of Hashem, and only then would they pray. Ashrei adam ozlovach misilos bilvavam, happy is the man who finds refuge in you, whose mind is on the highways, the pilgrimage, the ascent that he is about to make or he plans to make to Yerushalayim. Yelchu mechayel el chayel, yera'eh el elokim b'tzion. They go from legion to legion and will appear to Hashem in Sion. Rashi states that who are these that go from legion to legion? These are the people who will go from the Beis Medrash to the Beis HaKnesses. And once they do, they'll show there all of their legions, their troops, to Hashem. And we learn, first they go to the Beis HaMedrash to learn and to study, and then they go to the Beis HaKnesses. the house of prayer. This is the mark of a Talmid Chacham. Talmidei Chachamim never rest. They're always looking for more opportunities to get closer to Hashem. The Nesiv HaShalom elucidates the distinction between someone who is called a Baal Habayis, a layperson, as opposed to a Ben Yeshiva, a Ben Aliyah, a Ben Torah, someone who refers to himself as connected to Torah. One could think this designation refers to the amount of time he spends in learning Torah on a daily basis. Someone who doesn't sit and learn constantly is in the vernacular a Baal Habayis. But Nesiv HaShalom explained differently. A Baal Habayis is someone who feels he has it all down, all in order and all set up. He knows where his stucco goes, he knows when he works and exactly when he learns, but he's absolutely complacent about it. The ambition to rise in the ranks, in the levels of learning, in the levels of tzedakah, and the levels of service of Hashem, those are absent. A person who spends the bulk of his day at work can indeed be a Baal Habayis, or he can be a Ben Aliyah, that wherever he is, it is Oz Lo Bach. His strength is in Hashem, and Mesilos Bilvavam, his mind is on the road, the paths to ascendancy, the path to Aliyah. Hashem Elokim Tzvakos Shim'a Tifilasi Ha'azina Elokei Yaakov Sela. Hashem, the Lord of hosts, listen to my prayer. Bend your ear, Hashem of Yaakov, forever. Magineinu Re'ei Elokim V'Habeit Pnei Mishichecha. See our shield, Hashem, and look at the face of your anointed. Ki Tov Yom B'Chatzerecha Me'alef B'Charti Histofef V'Veis Elokai Midor Ba'ohalei Rasha. For a day in your courtyard is better than 1,000. I chose to sit on the threshold of the house of Hashem rather than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Ki shemesh umagein Hashem Elokim, chein v'chavod yitein Hashem, lo yimna tov laholchim b'samim. For a sun and a shield is Hashem Elokim. Hashem will give grace and glory and won't withhold good from those who go with sincerity. The Tanya in Shar HaYichud V'Emunah shares a very foundational yet profound idea. The Shemesh, the sun, is a tremendous and staggeringly powerful light. It warms the earth, it nurtures the plants and flowers, and of course, it illuminates our world. We could never survive without it, nor would we be able to survive without a filter to protect us from it. It could blind us with its fiery force. And so it is that Hashem provides us with a Shemesh Magen. We can only absorb it with its protective sheath surrounding it, allowing us to benefit from its blessing without being burnt by its brilliance. Hashem is that light. It is Hashem that invigorates all creation. But the light is so great, we wouldn't be able to access it. We don't have the capacity to absorb it. It's like a 5-year-old child listening to a shiur of Rav Chaim Brisker. Can he gain anything from it? So Hashem uses then the characteristic of Elokim, the name that is Tzimtzum, limitation, that tempers the light and allows each person the ability to have what he needs, but in a way that it can be processed individually. Therefore, it is Shemesh Magen, but Hashem Elokim. And then through that Tzimtzum, through that limitation, Chein V'Chavod Yitein Hashem. He gives us everything that we need. It is his light, but he is hiding it enough that we can access it, and we have to search enough to realize that it is in fact all from him, so powerful is the sheath that contains him. It is our choice to seek him out in that light, and Tehillim is the way that David HaMelech gave us to find and access Hashem in constancy whenever the need arises. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.